Welcome, one and all. Yes, here we are on the latest podcast, vlogcast, if you're on the YouTubes, where I have a wonderful guest, a very special guest, who you may not know, as he's not a top celebrity yet, but I did meet him at the Kenilworth Half Marathon, face-to-face, and also at Chester Marathon. Really, really wonderful, nice guy. And he's here to share with us a whole host of things, some of them very topical, like maybe the Nike Next Percent, which he's a great advocate for. But also, he'll talk about through his weight loss journey, where a lot of people, and I know some of you watching, and I'm mentoring a number of people, where some people get into their mindsets that they don't think they can run quick because of their current situation. But my guest that I'm going to have on has gone through from the weight loss where it's not about looking at where we are right now, but where we can be. And he's proven that from his first half marathon running in a time of 2 hours and 33 minutes. And in just 1 year, took a whole hour off that time. Yes, a whole hour in just 1 year, and ran his first sub three in 2018. So welcome, James Eckloff, to you and me and sub three.
Hi, Donato. How are you?
I'm excellent, mate. Excellent. Did you like that intro?
Was that enough?
Yes. So, as I said, you know, for a lot of people who come on shows, people know all these top celebs, but you're a sub three marathon runner. The story when you sent me and when we met, and I did see you in those wonderful Nike Next Percent, which we'll talk more about towards the end of the interview, because I know a lot of people want to hear real live reviews, aspects of, you know, from top runners like yourself in terms of how you're getting on with the Next Percent. But just tell us a bit about yourself and your background. And I know you've gone through quite a weight loss journey. When I was reading through that and we were chatting, it's quite an epic story, James. Do you want to talk us through that? What year it sort of started and a bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'll try and be as brief as possible.
Take as long as you want.
As you know, like, currently I'm 29. So just to give some background, when I was 19-ish, got into a first relationship, first love, all that sort of thing. Yeah. And it was quite unhealthy looking back, but at the time you're really happy, become very intense, and we just, you know, we were very comfortable, and with that come weight gain, boy eating out and things like that. And then we broke up and I was about 22, so 2012, and decided that I was really unhappy with how I looked, and sort of very materialistically thought I would never meet someone whilst being like this. Mm-hmm. And that may sound really bad, but that was my motivation. That was my kicker. And then, yeah, so basically a friend of mine was also overweight and started jogging, and he invited me along, and we had just over a 2 mile loop that we did about 3 or 4 times a week. And obviously, I couldn't tell you how fast it was. We had Casio watches, not GPS watches, and that sort of thing.
What's a Casio watch?
The cheapest one you can get in Argus, I reckon. So we started that. And actually, within 7-ish weeks, I lost a lot of weight. So I was 16 stone, exactly.
Okay.
And within 7 weeks, I was about 12 and a half stone. And my friend got injured. He hurt his foot. And we both stopped. We weren't enjoying it at this point. Running was not something we enjoyed. Just wanted to lose weight. It was a means to an end.
So you weren't, as you just said that, it's means. So you weren't enjoying the running, but you
not
still
one bit. Hated
with
it.
You still hated persisted with it because your goal was.
It was the best way to get fit for me. I didn't want to go to a gym. We were going out at night where it was dark, although people used to beep their horn. This is actually a thing that used to happen. Yeah. I don't think this happens much anymore. Maybe people can correct me. It's not something that seems to happen to me anymore.
Yeah.
But 6, 7, 8 years ago, people used to beep their horn regularly and give, you know, mild abuse, I suppose.
Did they?
You know.
Wow.
But because I was with a friend, it was okay. We handled it.
Yeah.
But nowadays, maybe since London 2012, and there's been a big movement in people getting fit, doesn't seem to happen as much. I don't seem to witness it as much. I hope people don't as well. But anyway, going back to the story, we stopped when he got injured. And then I had about, you know, a good 8-10 months off, you know, probably most of 2012, just chilling, feeling okay, 12 and a half stone. I was happy where I was, as you know, weight-wise. I felt I looked okay, and I was fine, but gradually was putting a little bit of weight on. Didn't really notice, didn't really care, was just happy. And then start of 2013, same thing again, a little bit of a kicker, weighed myself, And I think I was around 14 stone, maybe just over. So I was a bit unhappy again and looking big. So started to jog, but this time on my own. My friend didn't fancy it. So jogged again, got back down to 12, 12 and a half stone, sort of sat there. Whenever I run, that's where I seem to be my happy place with the calorie intake and the running I was doing. And that was fine. Sometimes I'd run once a week. Sometimes I'd run three. I'd become what you would imagine like a casual runner. Didn't do any events. Yeah. Didn't know park run existed. Didn't know anything. And then a friend of mine who was already fit. I know him because I'm into motor vehicles and cars, and that's a hobby of mine. He started. He used to go to the gym three times a week, and he just decided to start running. And he was faster than me and fitter than me. And I was like, how can this guy be fitter than me? I've been running for 4, 5, 6 months at this point.
It's funny, we always compare ourselves, don't we? Yeah.
100%. But he was a good friend and we used to go out. I just used to hate, by the end of the run, he was in a better shape than me. Yeah, and then he entered Birmingham Half Marathon with his gym group. And he asked me to sign up. So anyway, I tried to sign up and got a place. And got there and he absolutely, 100% wiped the floor with me. I'd never ran that far, so I remember my longest run. It was about 8 miles and I remember it being really, really, really difficult.
That was your first half marathon. Did you follow a training plan?
No. signed up about 4 weeks before.
So you just, okay, 4 weeks, 4 weeks.
But I'd done part run by this point. And obviously he was quicker than me. By a few minutes. I think my first part run, I would have to check, is around 28 minutes, which is fine. That's really good. Yeah, I was really proud. Excellent. A suitable mid-packer at the time, I was really happy. Yeah. We all have that embarrassment about going up first, being last, and I had this exact embarrassment. But actually...
you don't want to be first and you don't want to be last.
Within 20 minutes, you're kind of like, oh, well, I'm not at the back. Or, you have this fear and now you realise that it doesn't actually matter. The journey of parkrun is it really?
Yeah, exactly.
One knows, and the good thing about parkrun is no one knows who comes first, no one knows who comes last. It's all an individual thing.
That's right. And it's all about your personal time. It's all about your personal time. So you had 4 weeks. So get this right.
Yeah, 4 weeks, and I ran. I think the longest run prior to that was about 5 miles.
Right, right. And so 4 weeks training for a half marathon, and okay.
I was running three times a week and had been for a while before that. So I thought, maybe. And I just went out on the Sunday to do the longer runs. And I remember starting the first one with vigor, really. I remember thinking, I'm going to do 7 or 8 miles. And you get to seven and, feet are hurting, legs are hurting. And you think, how am I going to do 13? But actually training up to it, I didn't exceed 8, 8.5 miles, I don't think. So I was worried, but also naive.
Yeah.
When you don't really know about running,
exactly,
you just kind of think maybe you can do it. Naivety is sometimes a really good thing, I think. So anyway, turned up, started running, and I think I got to about 10 before having to concede to a walk.
Okay.
To walk run for the last.
That's still a long way, 10 miles. And did you walk the last 3 miles?
I think I walked about 2.5. If you know the old Birmingham course where it went up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, to Broad Street.
I walked all the way to the Morrisons, where you go under the underpass.
And then the crowd starts, right?
So you can't walk here. And then the last bit starts and the limp home. Yeah.
So how did you feel? You say you finished that in 2 hours 33.
Yes.
I mean, how did you feel? You met up with all your friends. How did you feel when you finished that?
I couldn't meet up with them. I couldn't walk.
Couldn't walk.
No. So I remember I had a partner at the time, and I remember. Her literally arm around me, having to carry me to the car.
Wow.
I lived on a first floor flat and I just couldn't get up the stairs. It was so embarrassing. All these things that marathon runners talk about now.
I
sort of got without knowing it was going to come, really.
But do you know what, James? That's exactly how I felt after my first half marathon. Yeah. It was a different time, but I'd never ran so far in my life. And it's painful, isn't it? It's painful.
Extremely.
So whatever times we finish in, we all have the same thing. So you finished, your partner carried you home, and you decided to carry on, or did you decide to stop there and then? So what kept you going? Because you told us that
parkrun,
yeah, later.
I believe parkrun. So
parkrun's kept you going.
My friend
parkrun.
Do
the parkrun.
Absolutely, and keeping fit, definitely. I think for the next, So actually parkrun, and I remember that I was a bit embarrassed about my time. It's not an embarrassing time, but when my friend did 150 something, so they broke 2 hours, you know, they were absolutely fabulous. And I think the competitive side of me was kind of like, I need to get closer to that. Yeah. This guy can do it. I want to do it. So I entered. I had a few weeks where I just sort of did not much, recovered, did part run. And then I think around Christmas, I decided to enter Warwick Half Marathon, okay. which is end yeah. of March.
That's maybe. In spring. Yeah. That's
yeah. Great. So that was my second half marathon.
That's at Warwick race course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice course. So, undulating, but nice course.
Very well. Yeah. I mean, they're about 10 miles, 11 miles. There's a decent hill.
Yeah.
That I didn't know about. I'll always remember that, I think.
But it's,
yeah, no, it's good.
I done it last year. It's a great course.
Yeah. I entered it and I was running a bit further then. So I was doing my three a week, most of them being 3 miles. And then on a Sunday, I would make sure I got out for 10-ish, 10K, you know, 12K, so a bit longer. And then when I entered that, I was really, really, really motivated. So I, my nutrition was on point, the best it could be. You know, I was eating really sensibly, drinking really sensibly, and training really, really hard for me at the time. Yeah. And I got there again. I hadn't got a GPS watch. And I remember buying a watch for it, and it was a Casio watch. And I remember running, and it loops at an hour back to zero.
Like the Casio,
it confused the hell out of me. I was like, it's gone to zero. What's going on? So, you know, we still at the times before I even considered having a GPS watch, really. I used to track the run after, like on my Google on walk, jog, run or something to see how far I'd gone and plan routes prior. And yeah, so had a really good run, and I ran around about 140 dead, 139, I think. So actually, that was a real massive improvement, you know.
Yeah.
That 6 months between, 5 months between Birmingham and Warwick was huge for me. Yeah. There's a picture of me at Warwick. I was 12 stone. And I was really chuffed. I was really proud of myself. No, none of my friends entered it. I didn't know anyone else there. I just turned up, very low key, ran it, and was really happy. That was one of the proudest finishes I think to date. I didn't know I could run out of time, so when you're very naive, like we've discussed, you don't know what you're going to run. So people are like, what are you going to run? Under two would be grand, and I don't know how fast I was going. I just felt that this felt okay, and it was really good. That was the best half marathon.
Isn't that amazing? Because when the way you're just describing that sounds like my first half, where my projected finish time is like 2 hours 10, 2 hours 15. And I said to my friend, and I was running for his charity, I says, do you know what? I woke up in the morning, I says, I feel like I could run under 2 hours. Am I allowed to jump in a different pen? And I just had this feeling, I thought I could run under 2 hours. I don't know where it came from. I might have had a dream or something. He says, oh, you could try and push your way towards the front. So I did, and I finished in 1 hour 46.
Wow.
See, and I thought, what the hell happened there? So no Garmin, no GPS, no nothing. I just ran. And as you say, naivety. We just something just got in my head, and to this day, like you say, I felt so. That was one of my proudest finishes. You say you ran a 139, 140. That is your proud. It's often not the quickest times that make us fit, but it's something where we feel that achievement. So you felt amazing. So what compelled you then? You then thought, wow, let's do another one.
Yeah, exactly this. And since then, half marathon has been my favourite distance. I think it always will be. It's a very good endurance and speed kind of race. I just enjoyed it. There was
Why would you say it's your favourite? Why would you say it's your favourite? As opposed, because you're a really good marathon runner as well, but why would you say a half is your favourite?
It's a very good and very fine line between going too fast and having endurance, I think. Yeah. I think you need strength to carry you, but you also need that leg speed to get a good time. Plus, you know, it's also you're really teetering on the fine line where even if you have a hard race, you can hang on to a decent finish for yourself. Whereas a marathon is completely different. You mess a marathon up, it's the end of
there's this thing,
and then
glycogen which runs out.
Let's face it, 10k is my worst, mainly because it just hurts so much. 5k hurts, but only for a short period of time.
15 minutes.
A 10k hurts for just too much, I think. So half marathon's a really good test, I think.
You're not thought of running slower? Sorry.
So this is really funny because it is all very subjective, and yeah. I like to think I appreciate the turning up more than anything, and yeah. everybody's out on their own journey as well. But my journey is seeing how fast I can get. That's what I like. Yeah. That's my buzz. And that's why I go out, you know, at 5 a.m. before work and things yeah. like this. It's because I want to see how fast I can get.
Yeah. And, so yeah. whatever the distance, you want to do the best you can. Yeah.
yeah. Which yeah. is and whatever the terrain too, you know. So yeah. I've done yeah. some trial stuff recently, and mm-hmm. I love it. I just love pushing myself, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. You mentioned about getting. That's why you get up at 5 a.m. You know, you do have a job. You know, we all have jobs. You know, you're not a professional athlete. And I'm part of the 5 a.m. club as well. So do you want to touch on what your typical, because you've run a sub three, you run sub threes. What's your, for those who are listening and want to run a sub three or want to do the best they can, what's your typical training week in terms of, you know, both the numbers of frequency days, but the types of training that you do? Because a lot of people talk about the long, slow runs, and the low heart rate stuff, and then some people throw in tempos, repeats, hill sprints. What's your typical week, James? Bearing in mind, this is, for those who are listening, this is personal to you. You are 29-year-old male, and you have a certain level of fitness. So for those of you at home who are beginners, please don't replicate this in any way. But just to give us an idea of those who are maybe aspiring to run something, yeah. what's your typical training week?
I've definitely built it up. So a few years ago, yeah. I was 30 to 40 miles a week. Mm-hmm. So for London Marathon last year, yeah. I was hitting 70 to 75 miles a week. Okay. For Chester, I was hitting my highest mileage of 85-ish a week.
Okay.
So typically, if we start on a Monday, Monday is recovery day for me, always after the long run. So yeah. I'll either not run if I feel really exhausted, if I've had a really hard session on a Sunday,
yeah.
I'll not run at all. Or if I can, I'll go out for 6 to 8 really, really easy miles. You know, mm-hmm. we're talking 9 minutes.
Super
minute
easy.
Yeah,
yeah,
super easy. They're real casual, yeah. barely getting heart rate up above 135 for me.
Yeah, conversational.
Yes, yeah. And then Tuesday is... depending on, so I normally have like a 2-week schedule, if that's okay to go into. I'll do Tuesday, I'll do a hard session, normally intervals. And then I'll do Thursday tempo. Saturday will either be another interval session or park run, mm-hmm. hard if I can, with a hard, or switch it with a really hard Sunday run. So if I do a really hard Sunday run, mm-hmm. I won't do so hard on the Saturday, but then what I'll do is I'll push my intervals to Wednesday. So basically I do Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I try and, if I do a really hard Sunday, I'll only do a really hard Sunday every other week. So yeah. the other one will be long, but it won't have any sort of pacing.
Right. Okay.
So Monday recovery, Tuesday interval session, Wednesday, I'll normally run in the morning as well. So 3 or 4 miles every morning is sort of what I try to do 3 times a week if I can.
Yeah.
So 4 miles in the morning, intervals in the afternoon. So I like to do, although I hate track, it is really, really good. And it depends if I've got anyone to run with. So if I've got no one to run with, I'll stick to the road. Mm-hmm. I live right by the Birmingham NEC.
Yeah, okay.
So when the weather's good, like for Chester, where the nights are, drawing out, I can just go to the NEC. It's a 2.3 mile loop on the road, so it's a good mm-hmm. session because you get to go on the road. It's sort of traffic free because it's yeah. close roads anyway.
Yeah.
And it's pretty flat, slight undulation, but nothing major. And I'll do stuff like mile repeats, sometimes long stuff. So for marathon, 2 mile repeats, and even down to the sort of basic 1 minute on, 1 minute off kind of thing. Yeah. I'll try and vary it, different every week, just to keep it fresh. And then maybe, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks I go back to the same session, so you can see yourself getting
just repeat the cycle.
And then Wednesday, sort of, I'll do 4 in the morning, and then the afternoon I try to do about 10 to 12 miles. Mm-hmm. The 4 in the morning, whatever happens, is really easy. 9 minute miles, yeah. they're just about getting up, turning over for 40 minutes, you know, 35 minutes before work. And then so on a Wednesday I just go out for an easy aerobic sort of 10 to 12, sort of 7:45 to 8 minute miles maybe. Yeah. Depends on how I feel on after the mm-hmm. Tuesday. Right. And then if I do a session on Thursday, it's a tempo, so with the marathon I normally start around 6 miles in my plan. Mm-hmm. And by the end I'm knocking out 10. I remember doing Chester. I did 10 in, first time I'd ever broken out for 10 miles, and it was in training. So I did 59, 10-ish, and that was a really good fitness test, 2 weeks or 3 weeks right, after Chester. Right. I remember thinking, shape of my life kind of thing. This was really, really good. And then, yeah, Fridays, two easy runs, 4, and then about 8 or 9 again. Saturday, double run. So I'll either do part run, tempo effort, depending on how I'm feeling, or easy. And then in the afternoon, I'll go out for another 5 or 6.
Right.
And then Sunday, because you and I are sort of at a level of fitness now, he's never normally less than 18, 19. Try and hit 20, and then try and hit 22. 3 or 4 times within the marathon block. And with that, I'll do either finishing the last 5 or 6 at some kind of marathon pace, or I'll inject some pace. I like doing 3 miles on, 1 mile off kind of thing. Right. 4 times.
That's part of your long run.
Yeah. And it actually makes the long run go faster. Like, as in, well, in your head, you don't think I've got 15 miles left. You think I've got 3 reps left kind of thing.
Yes, correct.
And before you know it, you've done 16, 17, and you're on your cool down of 4, you know, 3 or 4 back home.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
So a lot of your days is mornings and afternoons to get the mileage up.
So 4 times probably, if I can. Mm-hmm. So 3 times in the week, and then Saturday I'll double.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It sounds quite intense, but obviously as you've said, you do a bit in the morning and then some in the afternoon. So that's quite a mix, and they say keeping it fresh. With your, do you ever use your heart rate monitor? Do you use a GPS now, a Garmin? So when you say you're going at a particular, do you run at pace or do you run at heart rate? How do you train?
I've got my Garmin. Really? It's got wrist-based heart rate, which, as we all know, is not very accurate at the best of times.
That's correct. That's a nice way of putting it.
So I don't use it. I maybe use it as an indicator. I've been through times of trialing heart rate using the chest strap. Yeah. But actually, when it all comes down to it, I just do it by feel, really.
So tuned into your body and you know how you feel.
Maybe we get some reps wrong, but easy's easy, hard's hard. And one thing I'm quite advocate of is not to train too fast. So my aerobic runs, like my Wednesdays and Fridays afternoons, they're not fast. Sometimes I feel really good and they will be relatively fast for me. Mm-hmm. But most of the time they're not fast, I know what my heart rate should be, so you know, occasionally I can check it and go, oh, that's about right. But I'm not a slave to it by any means, because again, so it's just when you're tired, doesn't it?
Exactly. So you're not a slave to your watch looking at the pace that it's saying.
No, so actually, interestingly, I don't have pace on my watch. I actively turned it off about 1.5 years ago. And I've never turned it back. I only see what pace I run after.
Right. Because I'm very much, and by the way, for those who are listening, those who watch what, I'm a very much an advocate of feel. If anything, you refer to your heart rates, definitely not pace, because the GPS tracking is all over the place anyway. But what if you've got a bit of a bug or not feeling well, or it's a bit of a niggle? If you're pushing a certain pace, that could cause a problem, whereas you're doing exactly what we talk about. So we haven't checked, by the way, here's your £5. Answering it correctly.
I do some reps near Birmingham Business Park, actually, and half of it is under tree cover.
So
I could do 10 times 2 minutes, and the 2 minutes that aren't on tree cover are relatively faster than the, not always, but relatively, a lot of the time, than the 2 minutes that are under tree cover, depending on the time of year as well, with the leaves and stuff. So, and actually, I have to ignore it. So it's quite interesting, because it's a leveler towards effort over reading it and going, oh, that wasn't very good. Well, I know it's not going to be very good, because the GPS is wrong. So
so I'm guessing, though, but you do time yourself for recovery. So 10 times 2 minutes. So you're timing 2 minutes hard.
Yeah.
And recovery after your 2 minutes.
So on my 2 minutes, I'll have 70-ish seconds.
Okay.
But what I normally do with the 2 minutes, so what I started to do, I read an article, and I think it was Gemma Steele that said when she does sessions, she sort of finishes with 5 or 6 hard 20 to 30 second reps.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I started doing that, and I really enjoy it. It's really hard, but it's really good for turnover. So when you're tired, just doing those 6 or so real quick. They're just strides, realistically.
Yes, yeah, strides. Yeah, yeah.
I try and do them at max, you know, sort of sprinting kind of thing. With equal recovery, so 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, times six. I normally add those onto most sessions, and they're really, I'm not, timing wise, as I've started doing them, I've started getting quicker. I'm not saying it's anything to do with them. It could, you know, there's numerous things, but I enjoy doing them. They're really good for turnover as well.
I think it's brilliant, and it helps form as well, which is superb. But in terms of, so that's the training, which is, it's excellent. It explains why you're running these amazing times. And I know that you'll be knocking on 2:45, but because of your age, as you mentioned, you've got a good 5 to 10 years where you're going to be getting quicker. As an endurance runner, we tend to peak in our 30s, and you're only 29 right now, so you've got this to look forward to, which is brilliant. So as I say, remember me when you're famous. but before we go on to the Nike Next Percent, when I did see you at Kenilworth, obviously the color of these shoes, you can't miss them. So at the time, I think you had the bright green ones on, was that right?
I own the bright ones.
So the question that lots of people ask, and it's often a hot topic, and I think it came up because other companies do carbon plated shoes. Some have been an epic disaster, naming none, and some have been good. But obviously the Nike Next Percent is one of the good ones where we hear lots of good things about it. But also some people say your foot needs to land a certain way. But for your experience, and obviously this is just, again, for those listening, this is just James's viewpoint and experience. He's not endorsed in any way by Nike or me to say certain things. So Nike Next Percent, do they make you run faster on their own, or is it a combination of you, the training and everything? What's the whole thing? I know we spoke a lot of things. What do you think? Obviously they help you. That's your go-to racing shoes now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Races, yeah. Irrespective of the distance, whether it's a park run or a marathon.
Yeah. Well, contrary to belief, I mean, Adidas just got the world record in the 10K at Valencia, right? yesterday.
Hot off the press, so. Yeah. Is that with the Adi Zero?
No, they're not. They're just flats. They're just racing flats.
Oh, the racing flats. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, my belief is the longer the race, the more they help. What I notice, I bought some 4% originally, the Vaporfly 4%. Yeah. And what I noticed is as the race got longer, there was less fatigue. Mm-hmm. So your legs felt fresher. So I think over 5K, arguably, I think they do nothing. People can argue, obviously, that that's fine.
Yeah.
My opinion, I don't think they do much apart from feel like a very nice shoe. They're very light, they're very cushioned, they're very comfortable. But actually, I think they come into their own over the half marathon and the marathon. I just noticed my calves feel a hell of a lot better in the last third of a race at that sort of distance.
Right, right.
So for me, I got them on the hype, the 4%. It took me a long time to do it because I was like, oh, they can't make that much of a difference and they're really expensive, etc. And then as sort of I was training for London and like you said, attempting to get sub 3. Not London, sorry, Brighton. I got sub 3 without them. And then when I was training for London under the Good For Our Age, I kind of thought, right, now I'm in Good For Our Age. You know, you feel like a little bit of a pro, don't you? You're with all the other fast people and you kind of think, all right, what edge can I have? And the hype's there and there's a lot of articles that back it up, not necessarily funded by Nike by any means. And, you know, you see on Twitter all the hype about it and I committed it to it. So I bought them and I wore them once prior and got a PB in a half marathon and then took them to London and I got an 8-minute PB, ran 2:48, and they just felt amazing. Yeah. I mean, I still struggled in the last sort of 8 miles or so, like you do in a marathon, but they felt great. Then when the next, so interesting story about the Next Percent, I was really lucky. So as I went to the expo a few days before on my Nike Plus app, they sort of invited us to go and look at the Next Percent and purchase them. So I got them the day they were released from Nike Town, which was
on Oxford the Circus. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Nighttown and Oxford Circus. It was on the Thursday before London. I didn't wear them for London because I'd wore the 4% and knew that they fit and were comfortable. But I bought them because, again, it was very hype. But they'd released them literally that day saying that Kipchoge was going to wear them and everyone was going to wear them and stuff. So I bought them, had them early, but I never actually wore them until training for Chester. And that was when I started wearing the next percent. Arguably, I think I prefer the 4% on my feet. They seem to fit better and are a bit lighter, just feel nicer. But yeah. I did wear the next percent. They feel a lot more cushioned because they are, 15% or something. But they're both very good shoes. I couldn't tell you which one's better out of the two.
They just feel good. You had them at the Kenilworth Half, what I recall, yeah?
Yeah, that was where I first wore them and got a big PB. So that was good. Yeah.
But do you think, because I know when we were talking that the PB isn't just down to the shoes, is it? You do the training. You're getting better because of your training. The shoes just feel good, don't they? So they enable you to run the fast times by a combination of the training and comfy shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I never trained in them. So we see a lot of people... if they can afford to, that's fine. Going to park in them, but you know, amongst their training, I can't afford to do that. I don't think. but then equally, I use Pegasus Turbos. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah.
And I love those. They've got a carbon plate. I think they've got ZoomX Flow foam.
No, I think the Pegasus is just the foam.
Is it the turbo? Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's the ZoomFly.
It's the ZoomFly that has the carbon plate. Yeah.
Okay, so the Pegasus Turbos, which are very nice shoes. They've got some ZoomX foam and they feel very nice on your feet. I run all my sort of faster stuff in training in them because they just feel so good. I run my long runs in them, but I do save my racing shoes for racing. But again, even when I was in pre Vaporfly, I had shoes for racing. Yeah. I was always, my father, you know, my dad told me that it's nice to turn up to a race in shoes that feel special to you. So this was pre-Vaporfly. I used to turn up in racing shoes because they were a bit lighter, a bit nicer, and used to make you just feel fast, right?
Exactly.
So if that's a placebo and it works, then it works.
Placebos then why not? Work, right? Yeah. I mean, the thing with endurance running is it's up here, isn't it? A lot of it.
It is, and keep
the mind going, and every little thing can help.
If Kipchoge wears Vaporflies, we'll wear Vaporflies. You know, and that is the mentality sometimes.
Yeah. So if he turned up with sandals, would we revert back to sandals?
Oh, well.
I don't know whether they're doing the Nike sandals, but I know they do not quite barefoot running type shoes, but they do elemental shoes. But
yeah, each to their own, and you know, and this is the same with stability and neutral. I used to be stability when I first started running, but the last few years I've just worn neutral shoes and been okay and got away with it.
Same here. I think we evolve and we just get,
I think, more as our feet sort of get used to the pounding, they become a bit more tougher, and
and we know what to do. We build the strength.
You know, sorry, back to the Vaporflies, they're very good. I think some of my PB is accountable. So someone actually said to me on another podcast recently where, you know, if you get an 8-minute PB and you've wore Vaporflies as well, it's a nut. Let's say 6 minutes are probably training and 2 minutes are kind of the Vaporfly. I'm probably along those lines, you know. I don't think it's all to the Vaporfly. I'm definitely getting fitter and faster, and that shows over short distances and training. Yeah. But showing up and then feeling like they do definitely helps you. 100%.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, that's excellent to know, James. Thank you so much for that. So in closure, really, what are your plans for the future? Do you have a next race coming up? I know that at the moment you are injured, but what are your plans going forward? Because I know you're saying, who knows with your career, you're only 29, you've got a lot ahead of you, you know, 230, 220 marathons, or if you like focusing on the half, what's your big goal on the half, you know?
Yeah, like long-term goal is to see how fast I can get. I would like to probably be ambitious enough to say I could break 70 for a half eventually, and then 230 for a full. That seems a very obtainable, but
far enough
away to work towards. I mean, at one time I thought 3 hours was unobtainable, and then as you do it, you kind of think, where do we go to next?
Correct.
So at the minute, I'm just trying to get, I was trying to get sub 2:45 at Chester. Obviously, I didn't have a good race. So I would like to do a spring marathon. I've been looking at Manchester, but it all depends on when I get back from injury. I need to get back from injury in the next sort of 2 weeks to stand any chance of being on that line, in shape to run 2:40, which is what my aim will be now. So 1:16 half twice now. So with another block, hopefully I can get that to sort of 1:14, and then accompany that with a nice sort of 2:40. Yeah. Really, that's where I'm at.
That sounds brilliant, James. And funny enough, I will be at Manchester, but filming, hopefully.
Okay.
So it'd be great to see you there. But without sounding like your old man, is don't rush the injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Give it time. I mean, we were talking before we started the recording. It's all about being patient. But I've got to say, James, I'm eternally grateful for your time and coming on and sharing your story, which is incredibly inspirational, from your weight loss journey to being effectively an elite runner now, and it's brilliant. I love it.
I should say, so I was 16 stone, now I am 10 flat.
Wow.
So I'm currently obviously injured, a little bit heavier than that at the moment, but racing weight is sort of 60 kilos, so 10 flat kind of thing.
So you've lost over a third of your body weight.
Yeah, 35%, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Brilliant. So there you go, guys, those of you listening, watching, James, I won't go through my weight loss stuff here. People know my story. We can lose the weight and we can get quicker and feel good about ourselves, yeah?
But yeah, thanks for inviting me on anyway, Donato.
Thank you, James. Right. Enjoy.